We're going to be in 3 John, and we're going to be in 11 through 13. I'll give you guys a chance, and then we're going to bounce around a little bit. You know, did we turn on that screen? Yeah. All right. 3 John 11. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has a good testimony from all, and from the truth itself, and we also bear witness, and you know that our testimony is true. And then it goes into farewell greetings. It says, I had many things to write, but I do wish to write to you with pen and ink. But I hope to see you shortly, and we shall speak face to face. Peace to you. Is that in there? Peace to you, our friends. Greet you. Greet the friends by name. All right. So, as John prepares to end his letter, he gives guidance, is what he's doing. And that's what we're doing. We're up here, we're giving you guidance. And we're teaching you the word. And trying to help you understand it, but it's your job to go back to Acts, like Acts 17:11 says, and verify it. So you don't want to just take what we say as gold. Go back and verify it. That's why, and if you want the scripture readings we give you, we'll give them to you. We're nothing to hide. And also Wanza puts this back on Facebook too. She not on Facebook, but she records it back in. So there's, when you go to that website, you'll see sermons, and they're listed like in a day. There's the sermon that happens today, then there'll be the Wednesday night, and then there'll be the podcast. So you can go through and grab them. And when you get to the Wednesday night ones, when you click on it, you actually have to click on it, and then you'll see notes in the bottom corner. Yes. And if you click on those notes, they'll pop up, but then you have to open up another page and click on it to hear the words. And what I do is I do my phone, because my phone makes it louder. I could put it in a cup, and we can hear it better. So, Pam, that's how we watch it. So, anyway, and then you can follow along. But Acts 17:11 says there are more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica. And in that, we receive the word with all readiness and search the scriptures daily to find out whether these things are so. So that's your job to do that. You know, go back in and verify what we're saying and that it's so. By the way, in this time that is being written by John, he was said to be between 85 and 95 years old. So when you think, oh, when I get to a certain age, I don't have to do anything anymore. I can sit back and relax. That never happens. Because at that point, you're teaching somebody. You're discipling somebody at a younger age. So don't think that just because you get older, you get to take a break. It's funny because Pam's mom sometimes says that. Well, I don't have to do that anymore because I hit this age. I don't have to do that. And yeah, you do. We still are required by God to preach the word. You know, preach the word. You know, during the COVID time, we went to a pastor's convention, and one of the pastors there from Colorado Springs, Al Pittman, said, you know what you do in these times? You just preach the word. Right. You don't have to do anything great. Just preach the word and praise God, because the word doesn't fall void. So the first word in here, in this message from John, says beloved. What is that word? You know, it's dearly loved. Dear to the heart. You know, that's why we come up here, because you guys are all dear to our hearts. You know, we're constantly talking and praying about certain people because you guys are dear to our hearts. And when I see people, I get that, you guys do too. We get that love for you, you know. It's a brotherly love. It's a deep love. You know, the last message the last time I taught was actually back in July. I didn't realize it was that, because I keep giving it to Dave to do. Because we've been traveling a lot and doing a lot of things, so it's nice to be back. But it was in the first part of this letter, I mentioned that Paul told Gaius in verse 1, beloved, whom I love in truth and love. That's a good way to examine it too. I mentioned to you, I know many times, I think I told you that I've heard people come up to me and say, yeah, I love you. You know, I'm not saying you guys. I'm saying like a relative might come up and say, yeah, I love you, I love you. They're always saying it. But then I questioned myself in my heart. I had to change that Because I shouldn't judge that. I should just let it go. I do, yeah, okay. Sometimes I sit there and go, yeah, do you really? Then that's the lie of Satan jumping in there. You don't question that. You know, I know one person that they were asked, they were upset with each other, right, these two ladies. And one of the ladies says, look, I'm really sorry I hurt you. And the other lady says, I don't believe her. I'm like, you know what? If Pam told me she's upset with me, and then we work it all out, and then she goes, no, I forgive you, I have to accept that. You know, you don't have to sit there and play around with it. If we beloved somebody, if we love somebody, we just accept it and move on. Let God deal with the rest. That's the way I look at it. Let God deal with the rest. If you give, like you see the people when you pull up and you see someone on the side of the road and they want something, and you feel, I want to give them this apple or I want to give them some money, you do what's upon your heart. Because you know what? You feel God's telling you to do that, you do it. Let God, don't worry about what they're going to do with it. That's between them and God. That's your job, is to listen to what God's saying and do it. Just do it. Right? That's why sometimes when we come up here, I just do it, you know? And I pray that God is hearing me, that I'm doing it for him, not for me. But I've worked this out in my heart this last time, because when, you know, sometimes when we're up here, some of the stuff is on us too, you know? So when I was telling you guys, sometimes I wonder if those people really felt it. God really worked on me these last couple of months about that. So I had to change my heart and my way. So I know everybody's sincere when they say they love me. That's the way I take it, you know? So, in Exodus, it says, well, in the next part of this, it says, do not imitate what is evil. Let's turn to Exodus 32. And we're going to go 1 through 9. It says, now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, come, make us gods, that you shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And Aaron said to them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me. So all the people broke off their golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand. And he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf. Then he said, this is your God, O Israel, that you brought out of the land of Egypt. So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up in the next day, offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said to Moses, go get down, for your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrected themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made themselves a molded calf and worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, this is your God, O Lord, that brought out you out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen these people, and indeed it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, with my wrath may burn it hot against them, and I may consume them, and I will make you a great nation. You know, impatient people, aren't we? Nothing's changed. Nothing has changed. I don't know about you guys, but sometimes when I pray, I'm impatient. I want God to do this now, right? And I want the answers very clear, you know, text me it so I have to write it down and I can go back and reread it. Now, it doesn't work that way. But we're no different, and we still do this. You know, it's kind of like, I always think of it as a football game or a game you play, right? Do we have the instructions on how everything's going to work with God? How do we know to investigate or search the possibility of God if we don't believe there's a God? You know, because there's a lot of people out there that don't believe there's a God. According to a Gallup poll in 2023, about 68% of Americans identify as Christians, which is about 210 million people. This includes 33 Protestants, 22% Catholics, and 13 other Christian religions. Just Christian. The percentage of Americans who identify as Christians has been declining and dropping since from 87% to 50 years ago. A 2020 Pew Research study predicts that Christians could become a minority in a few decades. So what I did is I looked up. In 2019, there was 326 million people living in the United States. So now there was a new I checked the New Earth's one, and I don't know how accurate this is, but 220 in 2024, this year, 345,000. So we've had 19 million increase since 2019. That's people coming across the border, coming in every which way. How's that going to affect it? That means 135 million people are not Christians in the United States. So what's going to happen? That we're a country based on Christianity. So what we're going to do, we have to watch this, because this football is going to change. We are following God. We need to follow God. That's the only way we can get any. This is God's world. This is his plan. But he knows that it's going to go this way. But what we need to do is, what happens is we get lulled asleep. So be careful with that. You know, we start accepting certain things. These other people are going to bring in, just like when the Israelites were going around, God told you not to mix marriages, right? And they would mix marriages. Well, those people would bring in other religions. And it wasn't Christianity. It wasn't God. It was other religions, right? So obviously it wasn't Christian, because Christ wasn't born yet. But we get tainted, and we start allowing this to happen. And we got to be careful with that. You know, and sometimes what we need to do is explain to people who God is, if they give you the chance. Who is God? And they don't know the playbook. They don't know how the game is played. You ever tried to play a game of cards and you don't know how to play, and everybody just, it's not good. It's not a good pitcher. You know, if you're playing football and you don't know what the football's for, you know, you hand it to the good guy, he goes, makes a touchdown. Well, you lost. Well, I don't even know how this is played. You know, here's another simple example. I was making a doll crib for our granddaughter, right? And I'm trying to figure out how to do the dowels and to get them accurate in there so they don't look like, oh, weirded out and everything when I try to put it together. And I go and I'm talking to Greg about this, who does woodworking. And he goes, oh, here's a jig. He had the key. That jig is great. It made everything line up. It was real simple to line it all up. And he showed me how to use it. So we have the Bible. We show somebody the Bible. That's the jig. And this is how you use it. You read it. You know, it's very simple. You know, sometimes we make things so hard. We got to be careful. He's also saying imitate what is good. You know, because we can imitate what's evil. I mean, we kind of do that at times. And what we got to do is separate those. But I'll talk about that in a little bit. He is saying imitate what is good. Remember earlier? There was a Diotrephes, right, in the first part of this letter. And what he was doing is he was putting himself first, and then he was going around and he was saying wicked things against the whole church body. He was that tear in the body. You know, we have the wheat and the tares, right? Well, he was definitely a tear, and he was in leadership. So you got to be careful with that, too. That's why John wants us to imitate what is good. We don't want to do that. We want to imitate what is good. So what is good? If you go to Deuteronomy 6:5, it says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Wow, that is very, very important. And how do we do that? That's tough. This is one of a bunch of commandments we have about how to live, right? It should get our full attention. You know, we should not let these other things in. We have to focus on these. What comes after this? For if we get this right, many other things will fall in place. Trust me. If you love the God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength, how does anything else get in? You know, we were talking yesterday, Greg and Dave and myself and Craig were talking yesterday, and we were talking about songs. You know, we put songs on that are Christian songs, so that's all you hear. And that's kind of cool. And then if you put on, you know, if you listen to someone speaking the Bible, talking about the Bible, you can go, you know, there's a lot of people that do that on the radio. You can listen to talk radio. You can listen to those. You fill your mind with those things instead of the bad things. And then you keep flooding yourself with that. That helpful, right? But it should be one of our greatest efforts is to live this way, right? And to get that relationship with Christ so tight that when we're walking with him all the time. And it says that road is narrow. You know, that's not wide. It's a narrow road, and sometimes a narrow road, if you ever walked on a narrow path, you can slip. you can slip off very easy, especially if it gets wet, you know. With that said, we gotta look at this and we gotta be careful on how we walk, okay? That's why what happens is it's easy to get caught up and slide and go a different way. And then we think we're doing the right thing and we're not. And unless we're around other brothers and sisters, we won't know this. So that's where fellowship comes in. You know, we got to be careful with that. Because also what happens is we'll start wrestling with other things. You know, we can get into these little things, and we'll get into that. But if we pursue the relationship with God and slowly ask him to fix these things, fix where I'm wrong, Lord, point it out. I love the song Surrender that you did. Surrender. That's what we need to be doing, surrendering to God so he can point these things out. You know, I argued one time, we were doing a Bible study in Parker when I was when we had the business, and there was a bunch of us, and there was every denomination you can imagine was in this group. And one day we were talking about when you go to accept God, people were saying you had to change before you can accept him. Well, that doesn't make any sense. I can't change till I know where I need to change. And when you accept Christ where you're at, then you'll want to change. Doesn't mean you have to change before you become a Christian. That makes no sense because you don't know where you need to change. But God will reveal it slowly where you need to change. So that's a good thing, right? But when we pursue him with mistaken motives, our relationship with him is doomed for failure. So you got to be careful with that, okay? Kind of jumping around because I don't want to keep you too long because I didn't think going to 12:30 would work. Who does good is of God. David was truly a man after God's own heart, right? Honorable man, despite being a warrior, also displayed God's mercy and compassion towards Saul. You know, he tried to kill him Saul tried to kill David numerous times. And on multiple occasions, David had a chance to kill him, and he didn't. He was anointed by God as Israel's king. May we have a heart like David, wanting to please God and bring glory to his name in all we do, even despite ourselves, right? John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, I am in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. As we grow and mature in Christ, we should be able to understand the importance of these words spoken by Christ, right? Just as John the Baptist, who stated, he must increase and I must decrease. That's what we do. When we accept Christ and we're walking with Christ, our flesh should be getting depressed, getting out of there. We should be changing our lives to walk closer with him. One of the songs, Closer with Thee, you know, I want a closer walk with Thee. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but Pam will correct me later. Just as John the Baptist, he wanted that. He wanted the change. He must be preeminent in our lives. It helps us realize that the importance of Christ. We begin to see the sinfulness that we wallowed in prior to Christ saving us too. And we understand that even if we fall short, it's God's mercy that saves us, right? And it's the mercy that God has rescued us from the pit of hell, that which we all rightfully deserve. We have that. We don't deserve anything. God brings it to us. He gives it to us. Gaining this understanding, you'll change the way we think for the rest of our lives. Have you brought something that you are ashamed of, but God brought you through it? You know, you think about it. I think of some of the things I'm ashamed of. And if I start thinking back on those things, it's nasty. I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to know that. And so I have to renew my mind. That's the other thing we talked about yesterday. Renewing your mind. You got to keep renewing your mind. I don't want to think about those ugly things that I did before. Those are gone. God, he cleaned me from that when he was on the cross 2,000 years ago. And when I accepted him, I accepted all that. And it's gone. It's been washed. And it's been washed for everybody in the world. They just have to accept him. And some people won't. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It doesn't say that, but we're going to hold those thoughts and those sins you did before. Because then what Christ did was nothing on the cross then. But he said it was finished when he was on there. But he who does evil is not seeing God. Be careful with this one, because it doesn't mean that before you became a Christian, I did some real evil stuff. Or as a Christian, I did evil stuff. Maybe as a Christian, you did some things that were not so good. But hope not. But it would bring me, or what he's talking about in here is who is doing evil or still in the act. And that's a difference. You know, if you continue doing a sin that you know is bad and you're a Christian, you're going to be held accountable for that. But you can clean that up by just asking for forgiveness. And get with a brother and say, how can I stop this? Or a sister, and there's many ways. That's called fellowship. You know, fellowship is so important. Because sometimes what Dave's going through, he might have already gone through what I've gone through. And he can go, oh, I know how I batted that. This is how I combated this. This is real easy. Do this. Or it's not easy. Nothing we do is easy. We make it hard. 1 John 4:4 says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he is over the world. That's a great verse. Because we don't have to walk around defeated. God has fixed it. There's many false teachers out there right now. And I'm hearing about more and more. I have a good friend up in Eagle he's struggling with the pastor there who's teaching falsely, bringing the LGBTQ into their church, saying this is good. We need to accept them the way they are. No, we don't. No, we love the person, but we hate the sin. You know, and he's trying to teach them that, but they're refusing to hear what he has to say. And that's what happens. Those are false teachers. You know, I even watch some things on Facebook and or YouTube rather, and you see some of the stuff how people believe, and it's like, oh my gosh, you guys got it wrong. You got to change. You know, so I have to look at myself. Sometimes those examples are good, but then I got to look at myself and say, where am I compromised? Where am I compromising? That's why it says to examine yourselves. We're to examine ourselves and look in the mirror and see where do we need to change. As children of God, grasping the weight of this truth will help us live strong lives in faith and great spiritual fortitude. We need to constantly look at this. Demetrius was a good test, verse 12 says, Demetrius has a good testimony from all and from the truth itself, and we also bear witness, and you know that our testimony is true. Psalms 133:1 says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. There's fellowship again. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit are one in unity, and those connected through him become one as well. We all are one. If all God's children can get together on the same page, we would be in such unity and harmony. That would be so cool. You know, I thought it was really cool how Jason and Callie, you know, Jason did the communion last week, and we listened to it on Facebook, and it was so cool to hear him talk about Acts 2:42. That was so great because of the four pillars. He talked about the full four pillars, and I'm watching him grow is so cool. Yeah, yeah. And those four pillars, doctrine, to know his word, fellowship, necessary, breaking of bread, which we do the first and third Sunday of every Sunday, and prayers are to be one with him. Isn't that cool? Yeah. That is so cool because that is so true that we need that. We need those. All four of those things are very, very important. Verse 13 says, I had many things to write, but I do wish to write to you with pen and ink, and I hope to see you shortly, and we shall speak face to face. Peace to you, our friends. Greet you. Greet the friends by name. See, writing right now, we write with texts, we email, social media. You could be bold with that stuff. People could be bold back at you because they're upset, you know. But face-to-face, that's a different world. Face-to-face, you can look at somebody and say something, and you'll know it, that it's true or not. See, that's why he wanted to go to them face-to-face. You know, the letters are good and stuff, but sometimes we miss things in the letters. We can talk face to face much more. And here's the thing. Consider this. God is holy. He cannot allow sin in his presence. Only the blood of Christ over us allows us to approach him without fear and stand in his presence, right? So think about your home. Think about yourself in your heart. If God was to come into our homes or into our heart, what would he see? How are we walking? You know, are we, because it's a reflection. Our home is actually a reflection of our heart, if you start thinking about that. You know, so what do we have? You know, I look around and do I have clutter? Because sometimes with me, I guess maybe it's, there's a word for it, but we won't use that. But if I walk into a certain place, I have to have everything in its place. I do not like things messy. I have to have everything organized. You know, Greg's walked into my shop. I have a wood shop, and he walks, everything's hung up. Everything's in a place. And if it gets on the table, it just drives me nuts. That was one of our first battles when we got married, Pam and I. Because I'm a neat freak, you know. And like Wanza, yeah, she is now. She's pretty good about it. And I've calmed down. That's what, you know, she's helped me to calm down about it. And I've helped her to get weird about it. So it kind of works. But you just have to. To me, I have to have that all clean. Then I can have my mind cleaned, if that makes sense. And then if I have things to do, I have to write it on a notepad. You know, I have a big notepad like this. I write everything down. I have to have it listed down. And sometimes I have like 198 things to do that I got to write down. I think it drives Pam a little nuts, thinking, you're going to kill yourself one of these days. You're just going to stress out, you know. Because I do. I get stressed out if I'm not getting them done. Oh, I haven't done anything today. I got to get it done. No, but I have to, she's helped me calm down about that. But we have the authority over our homes to decide what we allow to enter, you know. We have that in our heart. We have the authority to allow that in our heart or not. We are the gatekeepers. We say yes or no to everything that comes in. This happens in more ways than we realize on a daily basis. Do you know, sometimes we allow those things to come in. We start getting, you know, oh, that's a little okay. That's only a little bad. Well, that little bad turns into big bad. You know, it's not good. So we choose the entertainment as part of this. TV shows, music, movies, social media. What do we watch? What are we seeing? What is our eyes bringing in? Our content either pleases God or brings him honor. Or it displeases him and pushes him away. And our guilt will push it away even further. Because then we start feeling guilty. So it's up to us to carefully moderate what we choose to expose ourselves to in the Spirit of God. Does our home and our atmosphere invite God's presence? Is the Holy Spirit welcome? It's just a thought. Think about that in your heart too. And is our homes? Is our atmosphere soiled by what we allow to come in, grieving the Holy Spirit, keeping him at a distance? Or does God bless us when we make him welcome by putting forth the necessary efforts to keep our home atmosphere clean? Right? But he cannot bless us when we are willing co-mingling with darkness daily. You know, that's why our sin, you know, you allow sin to come in. There's a verse that says, don't let the sun set on your anger. In other words, if you have anger in your heart towards somebody, if I was really mad at Dave and I go to bed that night, that anger is going to grow because it's going to give the devil a foothold. The same with sin. Any kind of sin does the same thing. You go to bed with that, you should be praying at night before you go to bed. Lord, forgive me for my sins today, you know, and that'll help clear. So is it better for, you know, and as we start doing this and we start walking closer with God, it is, I love the way Bill set it up here, that you don't want people to, you don't want to go around going, I'm a Christian. You want people going, he's a Christian. He's a Christian. I believe he's a Christian. You know, and it's by how we walk and how we do. What would he do and how we react to things. But if we keep walking We need to focus on God and honor him. That's the biggest thing. Luke 9:23 says to him, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take his cross up and follow me." Take his cross daily and follow me. Where's the sacrifice, you know? There's sacrifice in this. It is not easy. Bill's been saying this lately a lot. It's not easy being a Christian. We didn't think that we were going to be blessed to no ends, you know, and I feel we are. You know, you got to look beyond the natural, the stuff of this earth. We're blessed because God is on our side. You know, we have Jesus, and that's the best thing. So Psalms 16:11 says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forever." No longer do we fret and worry about pleasing people. Our focus is going to be on him, pleasing him and walking with him. All right? I cut this short because I don't want to keep you all day. And I know everybody has things going on. So knowing that we are living to walk with him is the most satisfying thing we could do in our lives. So just remember that. When you leave today, go verify what I talked about. Go get in the Word. You know, you should be reading the Word daily. Get in there daily. Just pick up the Bible, wherever, open it up, and just start reading. You know, or find certain scriptures that you like to read. There's the daily thing in the back. Or daily devotions, yeah. Yeah, or daily bread, yeah. And we have plenty of those in the back. There's a magazine in the back, too, that you can read, and it gives you some insight. But and get in a Bible study. He has his Bible study night. Get into that. There's things we could do. Or start a Bible study. Don't be afraid. Amen. God might be telling you that. But walk with God. That's what I ask. So bow with me. Lord God in heaven, we are so pleased and so thankful that we live up our nation to you and ask for forgiveness for the sins of our nation, Lord. We lift up the people in politics and the leadership that they may seek you and that they may ask you to send your spirit to them, Lord, that may they open up their eyes and ears to recognize what you are asking of them. We may not be ruling over kingdoms, Lord. We may not be seated on a throne or in a high position of earthly power, but each one of us has a path that you have appointed to us to walk. As we walk that, sometimes we require that we have understanding well beyond our natural abilities because you give us that. We may not want to do it, but when we do it for you, it's amazing. Your plan is flawless. Everyone in the sound of my voice or on social devices has ears to hear. And Jesus said, "The only way to the Father is through me." So listen right here where you are. If you're sitting, if you want to know him, wherever you are, you don't have to go to anyone. You don't have to come up to the public, up here to the pulpit. You don't have to, you know, go to a public square and stand up and do all these things. All you have to do is say, "Jesus, I understand that you died for my sins, even before I was born. And then you rose again. You say nothing must change in my life. All I have to do is accept you, which I want to do. I want to change my life. I want to walk with you. So I ask you into my heart. I want a relationship with you." If you said these things, don't keep it quiet. Go tell somebody. But please say these things, because the only way to the Father is through Jesus. And Lord, as we leave today, may we just pray for this country. May we keep walking with you. May we look at our own selves, look at our heart, look at our homes, and see how do we represent you, Lord. Do we represent you in a loving way? Do we honor you? Do we sacrifice for you, Lord? I am so thankful, Lord, that we have this church, that we have the people. It isn't the building, Lord. It's the people that come, Lord. Not even here, but any other church we attend, Lord. We just praise you. We give you thanks and praise. May we walk with you with peace and love this whole week. In Jesus' name. Stand.